Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
It's a beautiful call. Good morning to all our listeners in Chai FM land, all over the world, I believe, in many, many places. Welcome to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. I'm Adel Kozilski.
And I'm Feige Stern. Welcome back.
God, I think we've forgotten what we look like. Huh? Feige and I, and particularly Feige in this case, has been gallivanting all over the place. And so we haven't had the opportunity to sit in studio together. So it's really, really nice to have some human contact. And
absolutely.
And the other person that we've been missing a lot has been Dr. Kassel, our favorite on our show. He has got so much knowledge and so much wisdom about so many things that we're really excited to have him in studio with us. And we're going to be presenting over the next couple of, probably a couple of months, five talks that Dr. Kassel has put together around understanding the past, knowing the present, and the challenge that lies ahead. Good morning, Dr. Kassel.
Morning, Adel, and good morning, Feige.
Good morning.
It's going to be, an absolutely fantastic 3 or 4 months ahead when we can explore what we've always tried to explore in our programs, how to predict what is going to happen, be proactive, and not try to deal with things that have become retroactive, because when they become retroactive, they can become so much more difficult to deal with. Now, fortunately, I'm in an environment over here where genetics and the hereditary factors have begun to become dominant. A webinar was presented a few days back by my co-presenter, Adel, and it was absolutely magnificent. Here was an exploration by Adel, by experts in the field, and by a religious individual who rubber-stamped a trip into the past. This has not been recognized so much in our circles, because there's always been a certain stigma attached to knowing what your past is and attached to knowing what your genetic past is. To put it very simply, we are all born with what in our cells, every single cell in our body, we are born with 23 sets of chromosomes. If you can imagine the chromosome as a brick wall, the 22 pairs of them are identical. The 23rd pair differentiates the man from the woman, the male and female pair of chromosomes. Now, making up those chromosomes are millions and millions and millions of genes. Look at the wall again. Hundreds and hundreds of bricks making up the wall. Now, these genes are subject to change. They can be subject to change. They may have already changed when fertilization occurs. They may change post-fertilization. But I volunteer the information now that every single thing that we suffer from and develop later in life is genetically determined. It's there. It's been placed in our bodies by our Creator. Now, it was previously considered not right and a stigma to explore our past, and particularly when this raises concerns, because nearly every single family that you contact has somebody somewhere in the past that has had something that could have caused a genetic imbalance or a genetic illness. What has now been developed for us in South Africa, in our Jewish community, in our secular community, in our overall community, is a process known as genetic screen testing. Genetic screen testing is a method of identifying abnormalities even before a couple meets each other, when they do meet each other, when they plan to have a baby, when the baby is conceived, when the egg of embryo appears in the womb. At each stage of that process, tests can now be done, relatively inexpensive tests, and you can determine the genetic pathway of that individual. And this is so very important, A, in excluding the genetic abnormalities, because when you conduct an IVF or assisted pregnancy in the ways they're doing now, you are harvesting eggs, you're taking them out of the ovary, you're having a good look at them, and if they're no good, you discard them. If they are good, you develop them. And this is exactly what is happening. And it's producing a marked change. Just to tell you one of the changes that's occurring, Tay-Sachs that has plagued our community for decades is now becoming almost obliterated by screening and genetic testing. So if you remember nothing else from this presentation we're putting up today, remember that screening, genetic testing is essential. It's not a stigma. It's not a way of producing blots on your family. It's a way of assisting your family to produce healthy offspring and a way of assisting us to obliterate the terrible maladies that face us later in life. And to extend this even further, in my 5 programs, I also tend to show you how genetics influences every single one of the major diseases in the major systems that affect us. The first talk will be today on malignancy or cancer, how this comes about and how it is aided genetically. The second talk will be on disorders of the immune system and how disorders there, genetic disorders, determine genetic immune problems. The third talk will be on the infectious diseases and how antibiotics influence bacteria and viruses. The fourth talk will be on the very neglected role of diet and how dietary imbalances, according to your genes, can seriously harm you. Nobody's ever touched this properly. And also including environmental factors. And the fifth talk will be on hereditary disorders and how all 1, 2, 3, and 4 add together. So a very exciting time lies ahead. My own interest in genetics was stimulated in 1954. One of the greatest lecturers at the medical school was a man called Professor Philip Tobias. He was the professor of anatomy. And his very first lecture that he gave us in anatomy will always stay in my mind. What was it entitled? The bad germ is being replaced by the bad gene. Little did he know that some 60 years later, the bad gene was going to be replaced. The bad gene was going to be blamed for everything.
Well, there you have it. And we're going to have a very, very interesting discussion. Just before we go to a break, I want to add one more point to Dr. Cussell's introduction. And that is, there's, besides it, you know, people being fearful and worrying about the stigma that is associated with genetic disease, there's a question around, are we playing God? And I have to answer this publicly, because this is not about playing God. We're not genetically engineering your children. We are eradicating disease. Just as much as if you found out that you had a dispensation to a heart disease and you've done a test and the doctor suggests to put in a stent or to take medication to circumvent the disease, what genetic screening is doing now is saying you've got a dispensation or a potential to unfortunately create a child that is that could potentially not be well. And therefore, you can now make choices, better choices, healthier choices, not to allow that to follow on. So that we're not playing God here. And I think that that has to be said very, very importantly, because this is something, again, that, you know, I guess because of misinformation, people think that we're sitting and making up, you know, we're trying to get the perfect child. We're not. We're just trying to eradicate disease. And we have a mitzvah to look after ourselves and do everything to promote our wellness. So if you would like to join the discussion, we're going to discuss cancer particularly today. You can send an SMS to 34519, or you can it's Telegram, on 061-895-1019.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kazilski and Fagie Stern.
Indeed, you're listening to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show, and we're having a discussion with Dr. Kassel particularly around cancer and what happens with the body in this case, and what we can look at. If you'd like to join our conversation, 34519 is our SMS line. Our Telegram number is 061-895-1019. Over to you, Dr. Kassel.
Thanks so much, Adel. I hope this important introduction has somehow convinced you that we're not playing God, we're actually walking with God. God has turned his attention towards us and told us to listen to him.
I like that.
I think also how lucky we are to have this kind of testing available. You know, like how many years ago did people have to struggle because they didn't have this kind of testing?
Correct.
Just before we go to Dr. Kassel's actual talk, I did some research. And in countries where they do carrier screening, like ordinarily as a standard in healthcare, they have eradicated a lot of these genetic conditions by 80 and 90%. Dr. Kassel mentioned Tay-Sachs. Tay-Sachs is down 90% in the South Africa, not in South Africa, in the Jewish community around the world. He remembers seeing Tay-Sachs babies, right? But even in places like Cyprus and Iran, where they had cystic fibrosis, thalassemia, all of the places where they've instituted this carrier screening, it now is starting to become eradicated. And I said to Dr. Kassel, in a theoretical world, if every single person detested and every person did what needed to be done, we would actually create much healthier societies around us. But that's obviously a theoretical world because there's a lot of complexity around it.
Wonderfully put, Adel, wonderfully put. The bad gene has in fact become central to our knowledge of how our bodies react from the start of life to the end of life. It influences every single aspect of our lives, everything we do, how we behave, how we develop illnesses and how we cure illnesses. It's central to our thinking. Now, what is malignancy itself? What do we mean when we say there's a cell in the body goes malignant? Normally, the cells in every tissue and organ of the body grow and they divide in a regulated way. The cell that becomes malignant, very simply, continues to grow and to divide at an accelerated rate. It starts to get bigger, it starts to become more immature, and it accelerates its growth and then disappears. It first forms a lump or tumor, because multiple cells grow and divide at an accelerated rate. But still, the body has defensive mechanisms in which to contain this tumor. It doesn't allow it to go into a full-blown malignancy. But something then happens which may then cause the tumor to rupture and start to invade the nearby tissues. And not only invade the nearby tissues, but even spread to other parts of the body. And with this type of spread of the cancerous cells, the normal function of other organs then becomes impacted and the body can no longer continue to survive. Now, One of the most important studies that was done was about 30 or 40 years ago. It was carried out in the United Kingdom, and a result of a survey of routine postmortems, autopsies done on individuals over the age of 80 who have died of not disease causes, but accidental causes. These people were reasonably healthy individuals over the age of 80, and they suddenly had an accident or some acute event which caused their death. But basically, they were healthy. Now, an amazing finding was made when postmortems were carried out on these individuals. They found in almost all of them, when the organs were dissected and examined, the same malignant cells were found in almost every organ of the body.
Wow.
But they were encapsulated. They were prevented from spreading. So the theory was then put forward. It's no longer a theory. If we live long enough, probably every cell in our body will undergo malignant change. But the body has its own defensive mechanisms, as it's always had, to prevent spread. And there is no doubt today that the immune system, which we're coming to in our next talk, plays a vital role in this regard, and the genetic predisposition, which interferes with the immune system and renders the dividing cells to become more susceptible to abnormal influences, facilitates the malignant process.
I think that this is an important thing to emphasize to people, and I think this is something that motivates myself and Faggy while we sit here, you know, and run the Healthy You, Wealthy You program, because I think going back again to the stigma and the fear for people checking the genetics, it doesn't mean that if, you know, they find that you have a mutation or you have a genetic disease that you're actually going to have it. You have a predisposition to it.
Yes.
And if the environment, and this is obviously going to be explored more, but again, emphasize, there's genetics and then there's epigenetics. You have the status of who you are, your bricks in the wall. I like that analogy. But the way you treat the wall will ensure if the wall stands strong for 120 years. Or if you're throwing things at the wall all the time and making holes and damaging it and pulling out plaster and doing that type of thing. So people need to understand that.
Yes. How brilliantly you're putting it. Because all of a sudden everything begins to come together. Sunshine and melanoma. Mm. Tobacco and lung cancer. Radiation and x-rays. And cancers in the blood primarily. And so all the causes of cancer, certain foods, such as the foods we're not supposed to eat, shellfish, cancer of the stomach, all linked to changes in the cell, in the genetic structure of the cell. And when you produce an abnormality in the gene in the cell, you begin to cause trouble. So all of a sudden, it's all tying up. And obviously, if you lived long enough, your whole body would turn malignant, but you need to have something in your body that keeps the whole thing in check.
I'm laughing because you said, you know, eventually your whole body would turn malignant. So I had this like silly thought now, what would we do if we did genetic screening on Abraham or one of the guys that lived 800 years? I mean, they managed to live without too much malignancy, it seems.
Oh, buddy, we may, going like this, we may one day get there.
I think it's also their environment. Maybe their environment was fantastic in those days. No Wi-Fi, no bad foods,
exactly.
Out in the sun eating the food.
No, Abraham never had x-rays. He never exploded atomic bombs. He didn't eat shellfish either. And he probably never sunbathed.
But he was sitting outside by the tent trying to heal from his bris. He understood the healthy rays of the sun can heal. But it's interesting because human beings were able to live much longer. We happen to be the most fortunate of generations in that we've got so much convenience. And at the same time, now what we've eradicated communicable diseases, and you know, people used to die of a strep throat because they didn't have the antibiotic. We kind of like have dealt with with all of that. And now it seems like from a globular perspective, as you're talking, Dr. Cussell, that we're really just having to look at the fundamental now of the genome.
In my 60 years of practice in medicine, I've always obeyed the philosophy of one of my most brilliant teachers, who shall be unnamed. He always said, Cussell, if you haven't made the diagnosis, by the time you've taken the history from the patient and the patient has stepped into the rooms and you've had a look at them standing there, you will never make the diagnosis. And he was so correct, absolutely correct. A proper history. What we've been doing in medicine in the last couple of centuries is we've been trying to put out the fires. We've been trying to correct things when they've already occurred. The treatment of cancer is brilliant, but what does it consist of? It consists of surgery. You cut out the lump so you don't see it. It consists of radiotherapy. You burn out the lump so that you don't see it. Cytotoxic drugs to poison the cells to get rid of them so you don't see them, but you don't eliminate the basic cause, which is the abnormal gene. Simple gene cutting, if you like, take a scissors, which is really the explanation of it, and cut the abnormal gene and stop it from functioning, and you would assist. You probably wouldn't need your surgery, your radiotherapy, and your cytotoxic drugs. You would simply stop the tumor from developing. But let me go on with the talk. So it'll explain to you why cancer actually has become rampant. The first response of the immune system to these abnormal cells, tumors, or lumps is to recognize this conglomeration of cells as a foreign body. The body doesn't want it there. The body's immune system then begins to produce what are called suppressor cells or antibodies. Those suppressor cells or antibodies originate in our bone marrows, from the T cells in the bone marrow. And this mechanism happily controls the incipient malignant process probably for many years to come. It doesn't allow it to break through. However, eventually this holding process in the body may break down or disappear altogether. This will then be clinically recognized as the beginning of the overt malignancy and its subsequent spread. It is now known that genetic mutations and genetic mutations that we suffer from can influence how cancer cells respond. And this is one of the most important advances that have been made in medicine. And which country has done the most work in this? The much maligned Israel. They have done genetic testing and the testing of suppressor activity of the immune response. The breakthrough in Israel came in the identification of the abnormal BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene, which were identified in patients that developed breast or ovarian cancer. What a breakthrough this was. The field of identifying other abnormal genes which enable and facilitate the growth of the cancer cell is now becoming an exciting race in cancer research, because genetic susceptibility is now well known in certain types of cancer. And certainly in the case of BRCA1 and BRCA gene, you can take steps to prevent this long before the cancer has occurred, long before it's developed, and long before it has spread. So again, we have to emphasize that we are provided with the tools to do all this, but unfortunately, our our approach to it has been retroactive, not proactive. Like we always stress in this program, the healthy you is a wealthy you. The healthy person is a person that deals with things proactively rather than retroactively. It is no good closing the stable door after the horse has bolted, not at all.
I think that this is an important discussion again, and again comes back to you know, the knowledge and the information we're trying to impart to people that, yes, we even ourselves, you know, we've been reactive in terms of assisting people who are at the IVF clinic and are having problems with infertility, which is in a reactive space, and there is things that we can do there. And now we need to shift gears and become proactive. And it's not only being proactive in the reproductive space. This is why we, again, have the Healthy You, Wealth You show, is to teach people that if you're proactive and you've got enough knowledge, you can do something now that you don't get to the end where you've then landed up with a chronic condition or a condition that now is very, very difficult to live with.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Adel. And I certainly am experiencing it every day of my life. I thought at the age of 80, 87, I was already wise and I knew everything. But I'm rapidly beginning to realize that I know nothing, in fact. And I have got to learn a lot. And things get shown to us in a strange way. I mean, I looked up something on a webinar about the influence of the innocent egg in influencing the pain and discomfort that you suffer due to a genetic abnormality in your knees, which cause you to have knee replacements, knee surgery, and knee everything else. Well, I can only say that an egg a day keeps the pain away.
Keeps the knee replacement away. Okay, we are talking to Dr. Cassell, and we are talking particularly about cancer, but just having a general discussion or around genetics. If you'd like to join this discussion, we welcome you. We'd like to hear your comments, your questions. 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019, our Telegram number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kasilski and Fagie Stern.
We're talking to Dr. Cassell, and we're talking about cancer and the genetic component to cancer.
Well, coming now to the management of cancer. The management of cancer today is being revolutionized with the understanding of how the malignant process starts in the first place and spreads, and the genetic implications that have now opened up additional treatment modalities which can be added to the tried and treated and tested treatments of surgery, radiotherapy, and chemotherapy. One important point I wish to stress here is the advent of what is known as the monoclonal antibody. It's a very difficult word to understand, but very simple. The antibody is something that obliterates something in your system that doesn't belong there. And as we said, it arises in your bone marrow. Clonal means that it is cloned. It is it is processed to look exactly the same, the cloning that they produce. What has been cloned in the laboratory? It is a single type of immune suppressor antibody, which we have been speaking about, which has already been activated to suppress the advancement of the malignant process. But this antibody has become depleted, destroyed, or absent altogether for whatever reason. Again, we look to Israel. They have enhanced the effectiveness of the monoclonal antibody by simply withdrawing a blood specimen from the patient, concentrating it a thousandfold, a millionfold in their own laboratories, and then injecting the concentrated antibody back into the patient, and with amazing results. When treating their BRCA1 and BRCA2 breast cancers and also ovarian cancers, they all of a sudden found that they didn't only get the cancer under control, but they got the spread under control. All of a sudden, the secondary spread to the brain, to the lung, people who had stage 3 and stage 4 breast cancer were being turned into normal individuals. A living example is a friend of ours in Israel who had stage 4 breast cancer when she left South Africa with secondary spread to the brain and lungs. She is now a healthy woman walking around.
Amazing. Unbelievably amazing.
Yeah. And this treatment, always it comes with, whenever the wonderful treatments come out, they're always provisos. Because the limitation to this treatment is that at the moment it is only applicable mainly to breast cancer, to a certain extent to ovarian cancer, and in some cases to prostatic cancer. But the field, the goal lies ahead. Find the same sort of suppressor antibody for colonic cancer. Find the same sort of antibody for retinoblastoma, eye cancer, bone cancer. They haven't been found. But when they do, when they are found, and the list is long now of where we know the various cancers arise. I won't bother you with the actual names of the genes, but I just want to mention it to you. The BRCA1 and 2 gene is a tumor suppressor gene which undergoes mutation and leads to uncontrolled cell growth in breast and ovarian cancer. But there is also another gene which was called the TP53 gene, which when it mutates has been identified in a wide range of lung cancers, colonic cancers, rectal cancers, and liver cancers. The amazing work continues. There's a PTEN gene, which when mutated will cause cancer of the prostate, the breast, and the uterus. This gene regulates cell growth and division. There's the RBI gene, responsible for cancer of the eye, bone, and soft tissue cancer when it mutates. The APC gene that can cause colon and rectal cancer. The list is infinitesimal. The road lies ahead. Some of the most exciting developments in medicine are about to come about. It's a long task that awaits us. A little word of advice that I could give somebody who's listening to this program, who has children, encourage them to study genetics.
Ada, what do you say on that?
Oh, maybe it's a good idea.
It's where the future of medicine lies.
I think before we conclude, we've got a question from a listener asking us to comment on actinium-225 cancer therapy, which is used to specifically bind to cancer cells. It's not in our you know, the breadth of us saying this is good or it's bad, but it's in line with what Dr. Cassell is saying, that now what we're trying to do is to try to find more specific ways just to deal with the cancer cell, as opposed to doing like mass radiation or chemotherapy that not only destroys the cancer cell, but is destroying healthy cells as well. So that has to be said. So certainly it would be a therapy that one should go and investigate more. And then to add on to that, again, the layer that your body is complex. And while, yes, you need to deal with the cancer growth, again, environment, eating, and a whole lot of other things in the health of your immune system and all of that plays a tremendously big role, which we're going to explore. So thank you for that question.
Just to digress for a moment, another exciting observation was again made in Israel with their Moderna vaccine. You may recall that at the time of COVID-19, Israel decided to vaccinate its entire population against COVID-19. The Moderna produced a vaccine. It contains a spike protein, the mRNA vaccine. But don't worry about the technical terms. That doesn't matter at all. Just imagine it as a vaccine that was produced to control COVID-19. Yes, it worked against COVID-19. But when they gave this vaccine to 16 patients who were suffering from pancreatic cancer, they all of a sudden found to their amazement that in 8 of these 16 patients, the cancer was brought totally under control. So yeah, quite by accident, they discovered that the mRNA vaccine contained the antibody to obliterate pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, we're starting to discover all weird and wonderful things.
All weird and wonderful things are being discovered. And if we take the message being sent to us by our Creator, we will listen.
We need to listen.
The important conclusion, and I want to start concluding now, is that tumor suppressor cells are critical in maintaining and facilitating normal cell function. And when they go awry, cancer will start to develop. The exciting race is now on to identify the many unknown tumor suppressor genes. No doubt in the future, the various causes of cancer will be much better understood. We will sit back, scratch our heads, and wonder to ourselves, how did we not know this? How could the great physicians of the 16th and 17th century really believe that you treated pneumonia by sticking a belladonna plaster on the chest? No antibiotics were known at that stage. Cancer is in a similar position. And to quote a few examples, we will now clearly understand sunburn, radiation, tobacco, and all the theories of cancer that have come about, plus the deity theories, and we'll be able to put them all together. Medicine, in fact, is now entering a new dawn. Genetics is assuming the same significant role as Edison did when he first created the light bulb and Bell and the telephone. The accurate application of genetic knowledge and genetic screening is set to become the backbone of medicine in the future. What an exciting time awaits us.
And there you have it. And stay tuned, because in the coming weeks and months, we are going to be listening to Dr. Cassel more on this, and we are going to have a lot more insight. That wraps up the Healthy You, Wealthy You show for today. If there's any topics you want us to cover, or if you'd like to join our WhatsApp group where Faye and I, it's admin run, we just give a little thought every day on how you could be proactive. You can send an email to info@highfm.com. Give us your name, give us your number, and we will gladly join you.